We begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf test. We begin on the second line down at the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues with another teaching by the same Amara, continuing on the related theme on the topic of our discussion of our parak regarding the laws of Shechita of slaughtering. So the Gemara tells us of Amar Yehuda Merav. Says, Tamo Chacham, a Talmudic scholar, Tzarech Sheyilmud Gimel Dvarim. There's three things that he has to learn. Ksav, how to write, because he has to know how to sign his name, because if he's sitting on a rabbinical court or as testimony, so he has to sign. Shechita, he has to know how to do the actual technical act of the slaughtering with his hands. Even if he's proficient in the law, he has to know how to actually do the slaughtering. Umila, and circumcision. Now, Rav Chananya Bar Shalem Yemishmei DeRav, he says the name of Rav, Av Kesha Shel Tefillin, he also has to know how to do the art of making the knot of the tefillin, which is in the back of the tefillin shorosh, like the shape of a dalet, because we need to have the name Shakai, one of Hashem's names. The shin is made from the actual leather of the case of the shorosh, where it's made to be creased in the shape of a shin. And then you have by the tefillin shel yad, right near the bias, the Ritzuis has a knot, the shape of a yud. And then you have the knot that you have to make like a dal in the back of the tefillin shorosh. That, additionally, a Talmud Chacham has to know how to do that. Ubirchas Chasanim, which is commonly known as like being Masad the Kedushin, he has to know how to make the brachas, the Sheva brachas, by the Chasna. But Tzitzis, and he has to know how to make Tzitzis. Now, the Gemara tells V'idach, but the other Mandama, that of Rav Yehuda, who didn't quote these additional ones that Rav Chanani Bar Shalemi had said in the name of Rav, because he holds Hani, those things that he added on of making the knot of the tefillin, and making tzitzis, and birchas chazanim, that they're shchichen, that they're very common, and that most people who know things are proficient in them, and that you don't have to learn it, because he'll know it by himself, and he'll be proficient, and therefore it's not one of the things he has to learn. Those three things are not things that everyone knows, and therefore he has to learn it, because writing was an art in that form of signing the name, and therefore those are three things that he has to learn, but the rest he'll know by himself. Another teaching on this topic from Amar Yehuda, this time in the name of Amar Shmuel, says, "Kol tabach she'en yedeh hilcha shechita, any butcher, any slaughterer that doesn't know the laws of slaughtering, asalacha meshechitas, you're not allowed to eat from his slaughtering. Ve'elohen hilcha shechita, and these are the laws of slaughtering, which are all mentioned in Perek HaSheichet, which are shehiya. These are all invalidations in the slaughtering. If, let's say, he delays the amount of time of slaughtering the animal, he makes that pause in the middle of slaughtering. Or durasso, or if, let's say, he just chops off the head in one chop, which he doesn't do like slaughtering is, which is a back and forth motion. Or chalada, which is, if, let's say, that he burrows the knife, like a chulda, like a weasel, that's the root of the word, who burrows under. So he goes, instead of going over the pipes, he goes between the two pipes. Or hagrama, if he slaughters beyond the ring of the neck, which is hagrama, which the Gemara explains over there, that he moves his hand out of the appropriate place of the neck that you allow to slaughter, and he goes either too high or too low. Or v'ikor, or if when he's slaughtering the trachea, he actually ends up breaking, like ripping the neck. Those are the five types of invalidations. Those, if he doesn't know those halachas, then one is not allowed to eat from his meat that he slaughters. Now the Gemara says, "My Kamashlom, what is Shmuel teaching? Kulu Tanina, all these five halachas that he just mentioned are all taught in the Mishnah in Perek HaSheichet that an animal becomes a nevela if one does that during the slaughtering. So obviously, if the Sheichet is not proficient in these laws, obviously it's going to be forbidden to eat from what he slaughters. What Shmuel is not Meira. He's coming to teach us halacha that I mentioned in the Mishnayis. We already know the Mishnayis. What is Shmuel actually teaching us?" Says Gemara, "Lo Yitzricha, it was necessary for Shmuel's halacha because we're told about Sheshachet Lefenein Beis V'Gimel Pam." That we saw two, three times when he slaughtered. V'shachat shapa, we saw that he slaughtered well. So ma'av did tema, what would you say, mid'idach shachat shapa, from the fact that all those other animals he slaughtered well, hainami shachat shapa, this one that we didn't see, he also slaughtered well. Kamash malon, that's what Shmuel's teaching, that no, kibin d'le gamar, since he's not learned in these halachas, zimnin d'shoi b'daris, at times he'll either pause, or he'll push too hard, v'lo yada, and he's not going to be aware that it's even forbidden to do that, because he doesn't know the halachas, and he's going to give it to eat from it, because he's going to think that he did the right thing, because he doesn't even know, he's ignorant, and therefore that's the chiddush of Shmuel, even though he had already done two, three times well, still doesn't tell us that this time he did well, and therefore he's not allowed to eat from what he slaughters. Another teaching from Amr Yehuda Meshmul, he says, "Hatabach tzarch shivdik b'simanim la'achar shechita." The butcher, the slaughterer, needs to check the simanim, which are the two different pipes that there are, the food pipe, the windpipe, the trachea, and the esophagus, after it was slaughtered, to make sure that it was done appropriate, and that to see that an appropriate slaughtering was done. Now, Amar Rabbi Yosef, he says, Afanan Amitinina. We also learned in the Mishnah left Lamed Bezam and Alf that teaches this, like what Shmuel had said. Because the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Naimi, he says, Imsho Kadei Bikr, if the slaughterer paused the amount of time that it takes to inspect, that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach, is the invalidation of the halacha of Shia. That amount of time is the invalidating amount of time. Now, says Rabbi Yosef, my love isn't what Rabbi Shimon's saying. What inspection? Kadei Bikr Simanim. Obviously, he's talking about the amount of time it takes to inspect, which doesn't take so long, but you got to check to make sure it was a good slaughtering. That's the amount of the shear of invalidation of a shear. But one thing you see is that obviously there's a halacha of inspecting the simanim afterwards, like Shmuel had said. However, Amalei Abaye says, "Lai, no, it can't be what the Mishnah is saying, and therefore bring a proof to like the law of Shmuel, because Chacham Rabbi Yechon, this is what Rabbi Yechon said, Kadei Bikr Chacham." It means to say, not the inspecting of the simanim of the pipes after the slaughtering. It's the amount of time, it's talking about, what Rav Shimon's talking about, the sage that has to check the knife, where the butcher has to show his knife to the sage of the city, because of the honor that we have to give to the sage, as the Gemara says later on, next daf, and daf Yerim Beis, that even though the butcher is proficient in the laws of checking the knife, he gives it to the Talmud Chacham of the city, and he puts his fingernail over to make sure that it's smooth and that's exactly as it's supposed to be. That's what Rav Shimon's saying. If he waited the amount of time that it takes to check the knife, then that was too long of a pause. But it's not a proof that it was regarding inspecting the pipes this month afterwards. But if that is the Gemara Kimber, if that's the case, that's like Rabbi Yechon is saying, that's what Rabbi Shimon means, well then Nesata Devrecha L'Shiurim, then you have made your halachas into different measurements, because how could you say it's that amount of time it takes to get to the sage? Sometimes the sage could live far from the butcher and sometimes close. So how much time is that he's saying, oh, that's the amount of a pause? Ella, rather, no, what Rabbi Yechon was saying was, Kedei Bikr Tabach Chacham. It's talking about where the butcher himself is the Talmud Chacham of the city, and there's no one more learned than him. So that's what the shear depends on, only the amount of time it takes for that butcher himself, because he's the Talmud Chacham, to check the knife to make sure that it's smooth. That's the amount of time the shear shear, but again, it's not a raya, it's Allah of Shmuel, it's not talking about the beaker of the simanim afterwards. Now, but the Gemara asks, but that's the halacha of Shmuel, that one has to check the simanim after the shechita. So the Gemara asks, and loy badak, let's say that he didn't check the simanim afterwards, my, what's the halacha? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Atignis Meshum Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yanai Omar, he says, treifa. We consider actually the animal that was slaughtered as a treifa. A treifa is an animal with a moral defect. Now, he doesn't consider it, as we're going to see the next opinion, like a nevela, like it wasn't slaughtered. It was slaughtered, but ultimately, we don't know if it was done well because we didn't check the simanim afterwards to see what the animal looked like. It could have been a treifa. We don't know what was going on beneath the hood, like they say. So he says we consider it like an animal that had a moral defect that was slaughtered. The significance of that is such an animal, although one cannot eat from it, that animal does not transmit tumah. As the Gemara says later on, the Kofchov Chasim Abayz says in the Pasuk Min HaBehema, which tells us sometimes the animal will transmit tumah, sometimes not. When is it that the animal cannot be eaten but will not transmit tumah like a nevela? It's a situation when you have a treifa, can't eat from an animal, has a moral defect, but it was slaughtered, so it's not a nevela, and then it does not transmit tumah. But, as we said, Vastur Bechila. One cannot eat the meat of this carbon that was slaughtered. As Tesa explains, because ultimately, most of the time, we could assume that the slaughtering was done well. So biblically, really, it should be permitted. It's just that they were stringent in this law and says we don't know, so we have to assume, as the Gemara is shortly going to explain this halacha, that we don't know yet that it was kosher, but they weren't so stringent to make it into a nevela. But they considered like a treifa. Now, however, b'masnitatan in the Braisa we learned that no, actually, we consider it as a nevela. As we're going to shortly explain in the halacha of Rav Huna, because we cannot assume yet to know that it was properly slaughtered, because we didn't look at it, what happened, we didn't look at the neck, at the simanim, to see if it was done well. So we don't know if there was a shechita done. If no shechita was done, then it was an animal that was just killed, which is nevela, is dead animal carcass, and therefore metame b'masa, it actually transmits tumah by someone who even carries this animal. Not like the previous opinion that says we consider like a treifa, which you can't eat it, but it's not tummy. No, the Braisa says it's considered like a nevela and it transmits tummy. So that's the Gemara. But my commentary regarding what's the understanding of their machlekes. So the Gemara explains Bidur Rav Huna. They're both going with this understanding of the opinion of Huna, who the Amma that he says, Behema b'chayeha b'cheskes isrei medes. An animal that's alive has a presumptive state, which is called a chazaka, of being forbidden. because a live animal you can't eat from what's called iver melachai. You can't eat a limb from a living animal. Now, therefore, if there's a doubt regarding the validity of the slaughtering, and now you want to say, okay, so whenever there's a situation of doubt, you go with what's called the chazaka. So what was the presumptive state up until now? Because anytime you have a situation, you say, okay, hamadav al chazkasei. Okay, so we don't know what happened now. So we retain what it was up until now because you can't, based on a doubt, remove it from its previous chazaka. So you're going to say, okay, so this animal up until now was forbidden. Because up until now it had a cheskes iser. Now you want to say that maybe it's permitted, maybe it was properly slaughtered. You say, I'll take to run them yourself. You can't permit it out of doubt. So a living animal has a cheskes iser. Until you know with what it was slaughtered, meaning that you know it was properly slaughtered. You know for sure. Up until you know for sure, it's going to be awesome. Now, nishchata, let's say the animal was slaughtered. So then, harehi becheskes heter. Then it has actually a presumptive situation of being permissible, because we assume that generally most animals that were slaughtered have a cheskes heter, that it was done appropriately. Until you know that what actually made it a trefa, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain what exactly does that mean, what's the relevancy, why we're calling cheskes heter, why don't we just say that, yeah, we're slaughtered, it's permitted. But the primary thing that the Gemara is explaining now is that they're disagreeing regarding this first half of Huna's statement, because up until now the animal was alive. Now, we have a doubt regarding the slaughtering. We don't know, was the majority of the two pipes cut? We have to check it out, we have to see, did he do a good slaughtering or not? We didn't check it. It was already taken away before we got a chance to check. So that in that halacha, that's what they're disagreeing about. And that is Mar Sabar, the Tana the Braisa held, Becheskes Iser, as we're saying, in the presumptive state of prohibition, of the first prohibition, that's what Kaima, that's what we're assuming the animal still is, which is that we don't know yet that it was properly slaughtered. So since we're in a chazaka that it wasn't slaughtered, so therefore, v'hashta mesihi. We don't know that it was slaughtered. We have a suffix. We can't out of suffix say that it was slaughtered. So therefore, that means it died, because we don't know that it was slaughtered. If it died, so then, like a dead animal, like a nevela, it transmits tumma. But Umar Savar, in contrast, however, Rabbi Lazar ben Yannai, he held, b'cheskes isar minan. Yes, I agree to you, like Rav Huna's halacha, that there's a cheskes isar. But what was the chazaka in the prohibition up until now? An animal before it's slaughtered is not tame. A live animal is not tame. The cheskes issa was that it couldn't be eaten, because you can't eat a live animal before it's slaughtered, because iver melachai. That chazaka is there. And therefore, yes, like you consider a treifa that you can't eat it, but b'cheskes tumah lo yiminan, we don't say that it had a chazaka being tame, because meat from a living animal does not transmit tumah. So you can't extend the chazaka to say that it's going to be tame. And therefore, the suffix not working against that chazaka, and then we're not going to consider it as tame. First, the Braisa holds that no, if we can't consider it shchita, so then obviously nevela. Their opinion is that no, the only problem with the suffix is it's going against the chazaka. What is the chazaka? Chazaka is that it had a cheskes isra of achila. That we're going to say it's asa achila, but there was never cheskes isra, there was never chazaka of tuma, and therefore, out of that doubt, we're not going to say that's tame, and therefore we're going to consider it as a trefa, not as nevela. Now, once we introduce that halacha, the Gemara goes back, Kufa, and explains, Amar Rav Huna. His teaching was two parts. Behema b'chaya b'cheskes isra imed. Just like we said, an animal, when it's still alive, has a presumptive state of being prohibited, like we said, evim menachai, and therefore that cheskes isra is going to remain. Until you know clearly with what you slaughtered, meaning that it was a proper slaughtering. Until you know, that suffix cannot be moitzei from the vade. Now, nishchata, let's say the animal was slaughtered. So then becheskes heter emedis. Then we say, okay, we know it was slaughtered well. So then it retains its permissible presumptiveness. Achivod lech b'man nitrefa, until you know what actually made it that it was a trefa, that it was not kosher. Now, the Gemara asks, as we alluded to earlier, but why does it say it, the second half of his sentence like that? Why in the Balema he should just say, nishcha tahutra. If we're slaughtered, then it's permissible. Because the terminology of chazaka generally is only pertainable when there's a doubt. So we say, okay, we don't know. Okay, we'll retain the previous assumption. And you'll say, hamadav al chazkase. But what's the suffix over here? We're slaughtered. Of course it's good. So Zigmar HaKamash Malam, what it's teaching is the afagav de isyalid bareyis, even if, let's say, there is a doubt that crops up, which is there's a doubt now regarding the animal's validity that maybe it's a trefa. Meaning, we see a simen of tarfus, which let's say has a hole in the pipes or in the lung. There's some type of a simen of considered a fatal flaw. But we don't know Was it there before it was slaughtered? Or maybe it actually only happened after it was slaughtered. That's what we're saying. If we know that it was slaughtered properly, then we will establish it based on until we knew that there was some type of simon tarfish. We didn't see it right away. So once it was slaughtered, then we had an assumption that it was permitted. Then we're going to say it's going to retain that cheskes hatter. The reason for that is because generally an animal is not a trefa. And therefore we could suspend and say that it happened only after it was slaughtered, and therefore it's going to be kosher. As the Gemara says, that this second half of Rav Huna's teaching is similar as we find that Rav Abba had asked from Rav Huna. He asked him as follows. He says, if a wolf comes along, and it takes the intestines of the animal before he can check it, what's the halacha? So the Gemara asks on that question, Notal, what, that the wolf took away the intestines? Halas, no, it's not here. So we didn't see any race or any flaw. What's the doubt? Why should we assume any problems? So the Rav says, the Gemara, no. Nukav b'nei ma'ayimah. What's the halacha of the wolf? It didn't take it away. It just stuck its fangs, its teeth into it, making a hole in the intestines. What's the law? So the Gemara says, again, what's the question? Nekiv, if we see made the hole, hakarazina, the hole nekvina. So we saw it's what made the hole. We know it's not because the animal had it when it was alive, before it was slaughtered. What's the question? El Rebbe says the Gemara, no. What happened was, is notlan, the wolf took away the intestines, v'chzirin, and then it brought it back, kishahin nekuvin. And when it brought it back, it had holes in its intestines. That's the question. Now, what's the halacha? What's the question? Do we suspect that Shema b'mokim nekiv, maybe in the place where initially the animal happened to have had, when it was alive, a hole in one of the intestines, which would make it a trefa? That's where nokim. That's exactly where the wolf stuck his teeth in and mauled it, which, since it already had that when it was alive, that made it into a trefa, because a hole in the intestines is one of the 18 different things that makes an animal into a trefa. So maybe it was problematic. Maybe we don't assume that. Maybe we assume that it didn't have that hole, and the hole is because that's where the wolf had stuck his teeth in. We didn't see him stick it in, but we could suspect that it was. No, that's the question. What's the halacha? That Amalei Rav Huna said to him, "In chayshin shem b'mokam nakam nakam." We don't suspect that maybe that the hole was there before, and that's exactly where the wolf had stuck his teeth in. We assume that no, it happened right now, which was exactly like we explained in the second half of Rav Huna's statement, that we say that there is a cheskes shchuta, that cheskes heter is, even though now it crops up a problem, say, hey, wait a second, maybe it was a treva. We don't suspect that, and it retains the cheskes heta of the shchita, and we say that this possible treva only happened after the shchita and not before him. And that's why I use the terminology of cheskes heta, not just that it's permitted once it's slaughtered. However, the Gemara asks, Eisvei, he continues asking Rav Huna from the following Braisa. Braisa says, Ro tzipur hamanakar b'tein, if someone sees a bird pecking away at a fig, or va'achbar hamanakar b'abatichim, or mice that are pecking away at watermelons, so the Gemara continues on the base and says, Chayshin Shema b'mokim nakav. We suspect that maybe in the place where there was a prior hole in that fruit from a snake, maybe that's where nakav, maybe that's where the mouse has been pecking away, or the bird pecking away. Now, the relevancy of that is because that means that we're saying that this fruit is forbidden because of sakanas nafashas, danger to one's life. Like, for example, if it was left open in the open place, there's certain halachas called megulin. If it was left out in the open, which especially in Talmudic times, there were snakes, serpents that are around, and they could have eaten from or drank from that food or beverage, and there's that poison of the snake inside, and could be danger to a person's life. So because of that, even though we saw that it was the mouse or the bird that was pecking away, but yeah, we don't know if that hole wasn't there before. Maybe it was there before, and there was a snake that had made that hole before, thus poisoning it, and therefore we're saying that it's forbidden because we do suspect b'mokam nakam nakam. Well, that's not just like Rav Huna had said. He said, we're not chayish b'mokam nakam nakam. So Amalei, Rav Huna said to him, Mikom adamas isur l'sakanta, can you compare the laws of prohibitions to the laws of danger to one's life? Sakana shani, danger to one's life is different. That's more severe. That's more stringent. Yeah, there we are. Chayish Hashem b'makom nakam nakam. Maybe that a snake had made the hole, and now the mouse is going into that same hole again. That's by sakana. But by yisur, we don't have the suspicion, and therefore that's why we said that becheskes heter, the slaughtering will retain the heter, and we'll say that the wolf had made the hole now, and that it wasn't in the same place that there was a hole when the animal was still alive. However, Amalei Rava, Rava asks on this answer of Huna. Says, Maishna, why? What's the difference between sakana and isser? Safik sakanta lo chumro, We know that when there's a doubt of danger to one's life, we go stringently. I mean, we have to be careful not to enter into that danger. And Safek Yisur and Amel Chumra, we have that same halacha that when there's a doubt of prohibition, we also go stringently. Why should they be different? Seemingly, if we say, Shem Bemokam Nokav by Sakana, we should say the same thing by Yisur. So Amalei Abayas said to Rava, what, V'loi Shani Ben Yisur L'Sakanta? He said to Rava, what, you don't think there's a difference between prohibitory law and danger to one's life? But Ve'ilu, Safik Tumah Birshas Rami, says, look, take the following case. It says, when there's a doubt of Tumah in a public domain, and there's something that possibly is Tumah, or a person came in contact with something that's Tumah, and the doubt was in the public domain. So the halacha is, Sveikai Tar. Halacha is that that doubt that the person had, he'll remain Tar, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain. But Ve'ilu, Safik Ma'am Magulin, but the same type of a case, when there's a doubt about uncovered waters, which those waters were left out overnight uncovered, when there's a doubt of a snake drank from it, and maybe not, the halacha is that asurin, that they're forbidden. So you see that although these are two doubts about being something being left out in the open, by Isser we're makel, and by Issakano we're stringent. So Amar Amalei, Rava said to him, no. Hasam hilchasa gemiru lemesaita. He says, no, really, Sakana and Issa, Rava's contending are the same. There, the reason why we're lenient in the Rosh Hashanah by Tumah is that's a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai, regarding that we learn that from the laws of the Saita, the suspected adulterous woman, where there, her halacha of having had illicit relations with another man, if that was possibly done in Rosh Hashanah, that doubt is going to be tar. That's what we learn that to the laws of Tumah. But that's essentially like a Gzeiras HaKasav, because as Rashi explains for Rava, in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, regarding the Safek Tumah, we actually do go stringently, because actually, all biblical Yisurim, when there's a doubt, we go stringently, because maybe we're concerned maybe a person might be violating biblical law, which is the same thing as Sakana contends Rava. It's just that regarding the laws of Tumah, we learn that from Saita, that Ma Saita, just like the Saita, that her husband had warned her, which is called Kinui, don't seclude, which is called Stira, with that person, and she secluded herself with that man, so we're suspecting that maybe she had illicit relations. So the Torah tells us, it says the word venitma, that she becomes tummy two times. One to say that she's forbidden to her husband, one that she's forbidden for that man that she secluded with. Now, what happens is that she becomes forbidden because of that seclusion until she drinks the bitter waters, which she drinks in that whole procedure of the suffix saita. Now, the whole halacha of stir of being secluded with a man is only brishos hayachid, could only be in the private domain, because that's when it's secluded. In public, that means you're not being secluded. So that's where the Torah says, out of doubt, that up until it's clarified, she's forbidden to her husband. But in the public domain, she's permitted, because like we said, that's not stira. And we learn that the laws of tumah from there, because the Torah calls the saita woman as tumah, as venitma, that she became tumah. So we learn that af tumah b'shus hayachad, that also the laws of safik tumah being tumah is only in the private domain, like we learn that from Saita. But don't prove to me from the fact that, oh, tumah b'shus harab, that safik is lenient, and unlike the laws of Sakanta, that's only because, like Gzeiras HaKasav, Halacha Mesh Mesina, that we say it's similar to Saita, that it has to be in b'shus hayachad and not b'shus harab. But the Gemara continues asking on Rabba's contention, Masa Rav Shimi. He asks from the following Braisa. Braisa says, sheretz, a dead sheretz, which is one of the eight types of their shrotzim that are creepy, crawly creatures that they transmit tumah, that was b'fi chulda. This sheretz that was dead was in the mouth of a weasel. Now, v'chulda ma'alechas, and this weasel was going al gabi kakir shal truma, on top of loaves of truma. Now, safik naga, there's a doubt. Did this dead sheretz touch the truma? And safik lay naga, or there's a doubt, maybe it didn't touch. So says the b'raisa, sveikai tar. That doubt, even if it's in reshus yachid, is going to be tar. Now, says Rav Shimi, Ve'ilu Safik Mayim Magul Masur, and yet in contrast we find that even a doubt of water being left uncovered that we don't know what happened, it's going to be forbidden. Obviously that there is a difference between Isra and Sakanta, because here we even have in Rosh Hashanah Yachad that we're being lenient. And you can't tell me, oh, it was only Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, like we learned from Saita. Here we have a halacha even Rosh Hashanah Yachad that we're being lenient, and yet Mayim Magulim, we're stringent, because obviously they're different. And that says Rabbi, no, Hasan Nami, there also. It's a Hilchas HaGemira LaMesaita. That's part of that Gezeiras HaKasav, Lacha Mesh B'Sinai, that we compare the laws of Tumah, which is what this case of Sheretz on regarding the Kikar Aristotle Truma, we learn it from Saita. But a different element. Before we compared that Saita has to be only Rosh Hashanah Yachad, not Rosh Hashanah Rabban, we learn that another element, why there's a leniency. Because we learn that Masaita, just like the suspected adulterous woman, Davash Yesh Badas Lishal, we're talking about someone, something, that has intelligence that we could ask. We could ask her, did you have relations or not? Did you become Tamei or not? And that's where we say, when there's a doubt, in Rishos Sayachid, then we're going to say she's Asr. But that means also here, all Safik Tumas that happen has to be Davish Ishbidas Lishal. That Safik that would go as stringently, we say it's going to be considered as Tame, has to be only something that we could also ask of it that has intelligence, like a person that was passing by near a Sheretz or a Nevela. And we don't know, did he touch or did he not touch? That's when we learn out the Hilchas Gemirula, that in the Rosh Hashayachid, the doubt will be considered Tame. But regarding the case of the Braisa of the loaves of bread, you can't ask breads, did they become tummy or not? And therefore, that's what's going to be tar. But again, it doesn't prove that because Isra is more lenient. That's like a Xerxes custom, and therefore, that doesn't prove anything. But the Gemara continues, Amar Vashti says, Tashim, let's bring a rye from the following Braisa. Braisa says, Tzloichis, regarding a jug that was filled with Mayim Chaim, spring water, they're called living waters because like a spring has its own life. The utility that you need the Mayim Chaim for is for what's called Mechatas. Mechatas are when they take the paraduma, the red heifer, and they would burn it and get its ashes and put it into these waters, then they would be used in the procedure of purifying a person that became tummy from coming in contact with a dead person, with a corpse. Now, we're specifically talking about that there's only this spring water, but it wasn't yet what's called sanctified with the ashes of the paraduma. The reason for that is why it's talking about just the waters, because if it was already sanctified, I mean, if it already had the ashes of the paraduma inside of it, then as we're going to shortly see these halachas that we're saying that, okay, we're going to consider these waters as tamei sometimes, for what relevancy would we consider it as tamei? If we mean that we're going to invalidate it, then it shouldn't use the term as we're going to see of tamei, it should just say that it would be pasul. And if it's telling us because it'll actually make other things tamei, then irregardless, it makes other things tamei if it already had the ashes of the paraduma. As the Mishnah Maseches Kehillim explains, paraduma waters always transmits tumah, even in regards to being carried. So if we're saying that sometimes it's going to be making tamei, Rashi explains that we're talking about that there's only the water here. So there's just the living waters. Shenicha Megula, which was left out uncovered. Uvo Matzah Mechusa, comes back, he finds it covered. Says the Braisa, so tameya, we assume that the water is going to be considered tamei, and therefore, it's going to transmit tumah to food items or beverages that touch that water. Now, and for sure, that means to say that this living waters now are invalid to be used for the sanctification process, for the paraduma ashes to be put in it, because all the activities of the mechatas were all done with the levels and standards of purity, because the Torah calls it a chatas, which has to be tar, and since we're assuming it's tummy, obviously it's invalid. Now, why are we considering it tummy? Shaniyem, because I say, Adam Tami Nichsen Lasham V'chisa. How did it get covered? That maybe a Tami person came in and covered it. And therefore he came in contact with these waters and he made it Tami, and therefore it's invalid, and it will even be Metami other things. Let's say the reverse case. Henicha Mechusa, says the Braisa. Let's say he had left it covered. Uva Matzah Maguli, comes back, he finds it uncovered. So then says the Braisa, Imichayla Chulda Lishdeis Memene. If it's in a situation where a weasel could have technically drank from those waters, now, the significance of a weasel is because, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechtas Para, actually all shratzim, all creepy crawly creatures, do not invalidate the mechatas, except a chulda. Why a weasel? Because it laps at the water. Or similarly, as the Braisa explains, nachash, if it's possible a snake could have drank from it, ledivrei Gamliel, because Gamliel says that a snake is equivalent in invalidating the mechatas like a weasel. Why? Because both of them have this element that when they lick at the waters or take it in, they spit back what they're drinking back in. Now, since it was already separated from that flask for drinking purposes by the weasel or the snake or conjugal, so then work was already done with that waters, which invalidates it. And therefore, when it spits it back in, it now is mixed in with all the waters, and now all the waters are invalidated. Because mechatz has become invalidated when some work is done with it, as the Gemara says in Gittin, Dafnon Gimel Med Aleph. Or some explain the reason is because you need to have, as we said, Mayim Chaim, living waters. As the Pasuk says, Mayim Chaim El Keli. That has to be that its life is in the vessel, which means to say that you can't fill it up from one vessel and spill into another vessel before it's sanctified. Here it's like it was going from the vessel to the mouth of the animal and then back in. Therefore, that would invalidate it. Or if, let's say, dew had come down into the vessel because it was left open, someone had opened it, and then dew came out on it during the nighttime, which that's normal, when the dew comes down is during the nighttime. So then says the Braisa Psula, so then it's going to be invalidated because it's not Mayim Chaim anymore. It's not living waters, like we said, either because the dew is mixed in with it or because the animal had drank and spit it back in. Now, however, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, The Bryce is only saying here, when it was left covered and then he found it uncovered, unlike the first case, it doesn't say that it's going to be tummy. That went out in doubt, so it's not going to make anything else tummy. We're just saying that that invalidates it. On that, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it said, Matam, what's the reason why in the second case, we're not concerned, just like the first case, we said, when you left it covered, and when you left it uncovered and you find it covered, he said, oh, I don't know who covered it, maybe a tummy person. So not only is it puzzle, it's even going to be tummy. It's going to make other things tummy. But then you said, when you left it covered and you find it uncovered, then you didn't say that it's going to be tummy. Why aren't you suspect of being over there that maybe a tummy person had uncovered it, and therefore it should even be metami other things? So Shimon Levi explained, as a continuing type of Yoram and Aleph, then they should darchen shel sharotzim legalis, because it's normal for little creatures to uncover vessels that have liquids, that, beverages that they want to drink from. Now, although it's also normal for a person to uncover a flask, but you could still suspend and say, well, first of all, it could have been a pure person, and it could have been also shrotzim, which would make it tar. It would make it invalid, but it wouldn't make it tummy. Now, you could also say that maybe it was a tummy person that makes it tummy, but you have two against one. You have tar people and shrotzim that both wouldn't have made this into something that's tummy, and but you have one that you could say that's tummy. So you go after the majority and say that's tar. Now, in contrast, in regards to the case of the Reisha, the in darchan lachasis, it's not normal for shrotzim to cover a flask. So therefore, in the case of the Reisha, you can't use that as a variable that, oh, you left it uncovered, you find it covered, then maybe a sheretz covered it. So the only thing that you're left with is that it was obviously a person. Now, it could have been tummy people or tar people. So then we have to suspect, because now it's an equal doubt, that maybe it was a tummy person. But one thing you see from this halacha, says Rav Shimi from the Braisa, is that something that's forbidden, that we're going to go after the majority that's common, even though that's going to be a leniency. Because here we see, in the case of the Sefer, that we're being lenient. That we're saying, okay, it's two against one. It's tar people and the shrotzim, and there's the one thing of being a tummy, when it's regarding uncovering. So we're going to go leniently. Or inami. Or another proof, which some say that this, in the parentheses, is really from Rashi, as we see in Rashi's text, another interpretation of what it is that we're seeing from this Braisa, leniency regarding Isser, in contrast, as we're going to shortly explain, a stringency that will apply by the Sakanta of Mayim Magulim. Inami, another interpretation could be, is Taima Denicha Magula Ova O Matzah Mechusa. What do you see from this Braisa? The only time we have challenges regarding the prohibitory law of the validity of this for Mechatas is if, let's say, it was left uncovered and then you found it covered. Or Mechusa Ba Matzah Magula, you left it covered and then you found it uncovered. But Hamatzah Kamasha Hanicha, but what's clear from the Brice is, if you found it as you left it, you wouldn't have any problems and suspicions about maybe it's tummy. You wouldn't suspect maybe that it's puzzle. It's only when it was tampered with, okay then, depending, will it be tummy, will it be puzzle? But ve'ilu safik mayim magula masurin. However, the contrast is regarding the left open waters that were uncovered. There we say it's asur. Now, that depends according to which interpretation in Rashi. According to the first interpretation of the Gemara, is that even though you could say that maybe a person had come in and uncovered the water, or maybe other shrutzim had uncovered it, where there's no danger, and snakes are just a minority. And yet even so, we're suspecting that it was snakes that had uncovered it, and therefore we say that it's forbidden. Or also another interpretation, like the second, like the parentheses, is that even if you can say it's obvious that this person had uncovered it, and then he delayed in letting it being left uncovered, for the amount of time that a snake could have drank from it, we say, as the Gemara later on is going to explain, that it's forbidden, even though he found it as he left it. In contrast, we said by our halacha that regarding tumo or psul, if it was found as it was left, then there's no problem. So shma minach amir sakanta misur. So from both points, we find that the laws of danger to one's life of leaving the water uncovered regarding suspecting that the snake drank from it is more severe than that of prohibitory law. Both regards to the second point of if it was left as is, by Isser, we don't have any suspicions. By Sakana, we do have. And also regarding the first point, regarding when you have majorities, by Isser, we'll go Linji. And regards to the Sakana, even though the majority is telling us it wasn't a snake, still we're going to suspect that maybe it was a snake. Shema Amina says the Gemara, obviously, it's not like Rabbi's question. Rather, it was like, as Rav Hunan had answered, that you can't ask me from a halacha of Cheshon Shem B'Mokam Nakam Nakam. That will do by Sakana, but we don't do by Isser. And therefore, he said that it's Becheskes Heter Medes by the Shechita, even though you have a race of Treifa that happens afterwards, we're not going to be suspecting that. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion, which we had brought up regarding this idea of, course, the Gemara had asked from it and then mentioned that Sakana is more severe than Isura, which the classic case of Sakana that the Gemara is talking about over here is when there is a beverage that was left uncovered. So Tanan Hasan, we learned within the Mishnah Masechet Trumas that says Gimel Mashkin Asur Mishum Gilui. There are three liquids, three beverages that are forbidden if they're left uncovered, which are Mayim, water, as we were discussing, V'yayin, wine, V'chalav, and milk. So says the Mishnah Kama Yeshu. So how? Is someone calling me? That's weird. Kama Yishu, how long does it have to be left out uncovered when, let's say, the person himself left it uncovered and we have to suspect that maybe it was someone or something else? How long is it a problem about being left uncovered? V'yu asurin, and then that beverage is going to be forbidden. Says the Mishnah, k'dei sheyotze harachash, so that this sheretz, this creepy crawly creature, who we're referring to the nachash, to the snake, because that's the whole point of this concern, of the sakana, the snake's poison that might be in that beverage, the amount of time that it could come out, mimokum kar v'yishta, from a very close place and drink that small amount of time, if we turned around and we weren't paying attention, and then we left it uncovered, the snake could have came in and drank, and then put in this poison, that already makes that beverage forbidden. So that has to gemar, but kama mokum kar, how much time is that? What does it mean from a close place? So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda Yehudi says, k'dei sheyetzi mitachas oizen kli v'yishta, the amount of time, let's say someone left his flask, his cup on the floor, the amount of time that a snake could come out from right in the floor, right beneath the handle of the vessel, the yishta, and drink from it, then we're concerned that maybe there was a snake right there, came out and drank from it. Now that the Gemara asks, yishta, the amount of time only that it takes for the snake to come out and drink, but hakachazile, then actually he would have witnessed the snake. Meaning, if you're saying the only thing we have to wait for, that small amount of time that the snake could have came out from its hole, that it could have came and just drank from it, but then obviously the snake did not come. Because if the snake would have came and drank, and that's a dead amount of time, and then the person turned around already, then he would have seen the snake going back to its hole right beneath the handle of the vessel. Because you didn't give that as part of the extended amount of time for it to get back. So the rather says, no, yishta b'yachas l'choy. What we meant to say was, the amount of time that a snake could be right there, right beneath, but you don't see because right beneath the ear handle of the vessel, come out, drink, and go back to its hole, that amount of time is the amount of time that it was left open too long. And then, as the Mishnah tells us, for the water, the wine, and the milk, that's going to be forbidden to drink from because of the doubt, that suffix, which we're very stringent from, of sakanta, of danger to one's life, that would make it prohibited to drink from those beverages.